Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
For public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I became aware Tuesday evening about a social media post that unfortunately had some misinformation in it. However, I can genuinely say I think it's a good thing that will come out of it. I know some of you are missing time at work or stuff with loved ones, and unfortunately for those people that put that misinformation out on their behalf, I would say I'm sorry, although I had nothing to do with it.
If you're left alone to do as you all please, considerably more than 50 families will be directly affected and upwards of over 150 lives or more. The damage you all will inflict upon us could never ever have a price put on it.
10 more minutes to get somewhere is not worth ruining what people have worked their life for. And I want y'all to stop this.
In fact, even discussing the prospect of why we were coming this morning and what was going on and being talked about, how it would kind of affect our daily lives, our walks, our bike rides, and you know, watching the children ride down the hill, the road there, and just going out to the driveway to get the mail, to talk to neighbors. It made tears stream down my daughter's eyes, talking about how our way of life now is about to be upended.
As Christians, we're held to hold each other accountable, all right? And if you can honestly sit up here and tell us all this without having some type of conviction in your heart, knowing that you knew some of this stuff was going on, you may want to go back and check your salvation, is all I can tell you.
Well, that's...
So in the beginning of the meeting, Sam Parker said, I think everybody's going to go out of here more informed and happier than they were before. Well, sometimes you got to go through to get through, right? You know, sometimes you got to go through some stuff. So that was the brief summary, maybe not so brief, summary of a solid 4 hours of the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting the other day, which I've been talking about a lot this morning, because I think this is, it's a great lesson, okay? It's a great lesson of a lot of things, and including, you know, getting good information out, thinking about how information is going to affect people who are affected by it, how they're going to perceive it, trying to alleviate concerns. Now, I will tell you that I'm suspicious, honestly, that some of the people involved in this massive wave of frustration that showed with the County Commission meeting, there may have been a political dimension to this. You know, there were parts of this conversation, and I went through a lot of different reactions to this. I was listening to the 4 hours. Part of me was really sad that people were, you know, so misinformed and so clearly good, decent citizens who, you know, didn't understand the process. And these are the same people who vote and they're angry and they're not willing to listen, you know, to explanations. That bothered me. Then thinking about, you know, well, they have reason to be concerned. And the idea of putting a big old 4-lane road on top of their sleepy little 2-lane dead end road community does seem like it would be enough to infuriate anybody. I mean, if I found out it was happening to me, I'd show up at the county commission meeting angry too. And so, you know, understanding their point of view. And then thinking about everything from a preliminary map that was drawn 2 years ago by an engineer without being told to do so, but just as a matter of planning documentation to get started on thinking about how a thing, you know, that ought to probably come. And I've seen many documents that come with these disclaimers, you know, preliminary, planning, draft, something, as in a don't get too worked up about this. But even at that point, like, even if they had that on the map, I think people would have still been upset. Yeah, I apologize. I've been talking about this so much this morning that I haven't gone back and explained it to you if you're new to the listening this morning. But the Pea Ridge Connector was put in a couple years ago, and it connects Hamilton Bridge Road to Highway 90. Phases 2 and 3 would go to Berry Hill and Willard Norris. Roads in Santa Rosa County, moving from south to north to create a corridor in the middle of what is right now a, you know, somewhat populated, somewhat sparse in certain parts, but trying to improve traffic in Santa Rosa County. That's the basic idea here. This road plan showed up with a map that at least one option of which had, turning a sleepy little community road that's like almost like a gated community for the way these people live in this rural area into a highway with no explanation other than, holy crap, Batman, that's the end of our way of life, which is a very understandable reaction. So, you know, county can do more to reach out to people and say, hey, we're looking at this. We just want you to be aware. But will people overreact if you do that? Maybe they will anyway. Will they accuse you of being a liar? Yeah, I mean, probably. And that's part of the problem. Should people be listening when people give them answers and explanations and try and tell them, like, hey, I know it might seem unlikely to you, but this map that was made 2 years ago, nobody knows about this map. You know, like the engineer and the folks at Volcker are the only ones who know. And then there's the issue of concurrency. We'll come back to that in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you're heading eastbound on 98, right as you cross State Road 87 there, you can expect some delays all the way to Hurlburt Field, traffic backing it up for miles and miles. So expect delays there. And if you're heading southbound on Highway 29, heading into Pensacola, just north of the 9 Mile Road intersection, you can expect delays as well. Other than that, looking good. Just some minor slowdowns all throughout downtown, so you might expect some delays there. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to this conversation about Santa Rosa County and the Pea Ridge Connector and the meeting that took four. I mean, the meeting was like 5+ hours, but this part of it took like 4 hours. Several potty breaks in between. I mean, it was, you know, people were upset. And I think rightly so, because if you found this is going to happen to your sleepy little community road, you would react badly too. So two thoughts. Number one is, I tell you, it's really important in life, just as a general lesson in life, is you got to learn who can be trusted and who can't be trusted. Right? And Rebecca Jones, who is the county engineer in Santa Rosa County, God, she's just a good person. She really is. You know, Devin Cook, Brad Baker. You can think whatever you want about the politicians in Santa Rosa County. I have my own views about each of them, as you kind of can guess from some of the ways I talk about them. Some I respect greatly. Some I do not respect at all. And yet the staff is generally fantastic. And, you know, Brad and Devin and Rebecca are fantastic. So, you know, at one point, the background of this is that this one guy had gone to several departments a week ago and asked for any information about this Pea Ridge Connector. And I'm wondering why he went to ask. I mean, I'm wondering if somebody tipped him off that there was a map, because that's possible. Like, that's why I say maybe this was a political operation, okay? But regardless, he goes in at the engineering office, he gets a map. And that's what becomes this Facebook post that gets shared almost 1,000 times, maybe more by now, I don't know, that eventually turns into this fracas at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. But Sam Parker at one point says, well, who gave you this map?
Before you walk away, is that employee that gave you that map in the room today?
This is Mike McConville he's interacting with. And see, they're so distrustful of him that at this point they're like, why do you want to know? You trying to fire her? Like, that's kind of their reaction.
It's a question.
Are you going to take their job?
I think you
You want to engage with me, Sam?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready to rock and roll. You want to engage? Let's do this. Now.
I mean, he was there for a fight, right? Mike McConville was very upset, and he was there for a fight, okay? So, again, Rebecca Jones was the person, that's the engineer, gave him the map. Okay, and she'd had a conversation with him and said, this is for planning purposes only. This is not a final version, she says, okay?
I have never shared that map with any of the commissioners.
By the way, that had been the key thing, is people thought that Sam Parker knew about this, other commissioners knew about this, and they were keeping it from the people. They had this plan, they're going to ruin their way of life, and nobody was talking about it. And Sam's like, I never seen this map. Everybody said, I've never seen this map. And, you know, they've said nobody else has seen this map. So here's the engineer trying to tell you the same thing.
I have never shared that map with any of the commissioners. They have, to my knowledge, they've never seen that map until this was brought up. That map was emailed to someone on Monday, and from that point, the map became public.
You're saying exactly what you're supposed to, and I hope your job is saved.
No, sir, I'm not.
Now listen to
me. I am a truthful, honest person, and I am telling you the truth. I have never shared that map with any of those five commissioners, period.
I mean, he accused her of lying. Inappropriate. Inappropriate. When you get worked up, you say things you regret. Trust me, I know. It's true. Even on the radio sometimes. But you just called the engineer for the county a liar to her face. That deserves an apology. And that's the problem with going angry. Because you won't listen, and you won't hear reason, and you won't react to it. And, you know, whether it's Brad Baker or Devan Cook, who served the county for, God, how many decades now and is retiring, trying to tell you that, you know, this is only a possibility that we might not even be able to afford. We do this all the time. We come up with planning documents that don't mean anything.
Anytime you want to walk into one of our offices and ask something, we'll sit down and talk to you and tell you the whole story. I'll be gone, but Brad will tell you. Go to the engineering. They'll tell you about every road in the county.
And they come up with planning documents every day. It's just lines on a map, even though when you see it as a citizen, you're like, that's my way of life.
This whole thing has turned into a big mess over something that was conceptual. Again, we don't know that there's the money to build this. It's a concept. We have, as Brad stated, $300 million worth of projects we need to build. We need to put a $150 million bridge over Navarre to Navarre Beach. This may never happen, but we have to look forward and we have to think about the future. And I understand your concerns and your passion, but one thing I can tell you, there was never any concept to go through the Hayes Ranch. I mean, that would have been foolish. So, you know, that was just a line on a map that somebody drew. That was just, okay, I'm not going to argue with people.
That's Devan Cook on what's his last meeting. I mean, his last day is today, you know? So, and Brad Baker, the now incoming county administrator, says, you know, we were never going to take houses with eminent domain. The notion that people think that's going to happen, that's not our intent. We're trying not to do that. And we don't even know if we can afford this project. It's just an idea. So here's a couple of takeaways I have, okay? One, county can always communicate better. Two, you can always warn people that something is just a rough draft that could be stamped on documents. I agree with that approach. Three, if you go to a meeting and you're worked up, be willing to listen. You know, it's okay to be angry. Angry's fine. Just, you know, be willing to listen at the same time and hear explanations and answers to your questions. But I will also say this, there's a broader takeaway from this, and part of the reason I've been talking about this today is it's dramatic, it's good radio, it's whatever, but there's a broader lesson here. Because what they really were saying, if you listen, was, and they said this many times, is y'all shouldn't let so many people build houses here. And you got to stop people from building houses here. You can't stop people from building houses here. Not even legally, let alone if you wanted to. And yeah, they should have done a much better job of, you know, building roads when they're building houses for the last two decades. Of course. Okay. Well, decade. Of course. Okay. But here's the thing. What they're asking for is traffic concurrency. What they're asking for is don't build houses until you have roads, or build houses when you build roads, like build them together. They're wanting to alleviate these traffic. I mean, and it was kind of weird because some of them were actually saying that we don't have a traffic problem in Santa Rosa County. That was a first for me to hear somebody claim that. But again, you say outrageous things when you're, you know, worked up and don't want to listen. This Pea Ridge Connector, as it is, the first phase, is traffic concurrency. Like, you built the road, now you can develop the land around the road. Now, I know that the people in Phase 2 and Phase 3 don't want to see that land developed, but, and that's what they're worried about, but this is literally building the road before you build the houses. It's exactly how you're supposed to do this to avoid all the massive traffic congestion issues. I mean, they're demanding that they could go back in time 10 years and have somebody build roads before they build houses, and they're angry at the county for building a road before they're building houses. You cannot have that both ways. But I also get it's in my backyard. And my backyard and my way of life and my kids and my horses and my... That's what this is about, too. So just an interesting case study in communication, public relations, clarity about what documents do and don't mean, and honestly, willingness by the citizens to learn more, hear, and participate collaboratively in these conversations, which none of this always happens the right way. So 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. I have criticism for everybody in this process and sort of guidance for everybody in this process. But generally speaking, to me, the takeaway here is they're kind of trying to do what they should be doing in building roads before you develop. And they're getting cut off at the knees for building roads before they develop, which is, you can't have that both ways. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you're in Pace or Milton, going down southbound on Woodbine Road, you can expect to be backed up all the way from the Highway 90 intersection to about that Brooks Orthodontics, and that's a few miles. If you're heading eastbound on 98, you can expect to see some traffic build up right as you pass State Road 87 all the way to Hurlburt Field. That is going to be backed up. And coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you're going to be experiencing some traffic all the way from Avalon to Pensacola. If you see anything else on our roads, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Speaking of traffic and the thing that makes it, which is cars, which is what you're driving, which is if you're driving one you don't like, can't stand, or you feel embarrassed about or unsure it's going to work when you get in it, hey, don't put up with that. You deserve better. Go to Frontier Motors. Find out that they have a huge selection, 300 different cars, trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, sports cars, you know, Jeeps on the lot. And you can look at a bunch, try a bunch, drive several, drive as many as you want, and really get a good sense of what's available. And then if you find what you like at a good price, buy it. If you find what you like but that's not the right price, make a different decision. If you find, you know, close, send them on a mission. They'll go find it for you. That's what they can do. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Consider with me the topic of ego. Proverbs 16 explains that an unchecked, insufferable ego will lead to destruction and to a fall. Ego is your enemy. It's your enemy because it inhibits you from learning. You can't teach someone something that they think they already know. Also, ego is your enemy because it destroys relationships. Eventually, other people tire of you if you're self-absorbed and egotistical. Further, ego is your enemy because it's antithetical to the gospel. After all, it's for by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. And the cure to ego is to have a God confidence. It's okay to be confident in the gifts that God has entrusted to you. To avoid being egotistical, you must never forget that God gave you those gifts. So be confident in Him and then avoid the destruction that comes from an insufferable ego.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I do not for one think that the problem was that the band was down. I think that the problem may have been that there was a Stonehenge monument on the stage that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf.
Good morning, 7:29 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody texted me and says, Andrew, you're really pissing a lot of people off this morning. Everyone knows all those contractors that build homes and neighborhoods all make big donations to these county commissioners. Yeah, agreed. Same person has texted me in the past about all the traffic backups. Dude, you can't have both. You know, Bear Hill Road is backed up this morning. The point is not that they're letting the, you know, contractors build the homes. I mean, I agree that's a point, but the point is you got to build homes somewhere, and then are you going to build the roads to them? Because roads that are shorter or more direct and are closer into the services mean better quality of life for the people who live, you know, in the more rural areas. I get that that sucks for the people close in, but also that's how you avoid a Woodbine, and that's how you avoid a Shamukla Highway, is by thinking ahead and planning ahead and building the road before you build the houses. So you can't complain about both sides. That's why concurrency makes sense. That's why it's a good plan. Just nobody wants the roads near them. Which I get. But then you get what we've got now. What's your answer? Well, don't let people in the county. You're not going to get that answer.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Anti-Israel protests on college campuses. Arrests being made at the University of North Carolina. While in New York City at Columbia University, protests are smashing windows, taking over Hamilton Hall.
This is a very important building for Columbia University and Columbia College. This is where the dean of Columbia College is. It's where the center for the core curriculum is, and that's the centerpiece of every student's academic experience.
Jonas Du, a student there, not taking part in the protest, speaking earlier on Fox and Friends. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to invade Rafah with or without a deal as a ceasefire talks with Hamas continue. Day 9, the trial of Donald Trump.
Back on the stand will be Gary Farrow. He is Michael Cohen's banker. He set up the shell company that Cohen used to pay off Stormy Daniels. Farrow's testimony is designed to start laying out for the jury the financial document trail.
That's Fox's Eric Shawn at the courthouse. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now we've got 72 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Three victims have been identified in the triple homicide from Sunday morning in Escambia County.
We're looking into the possibility that this might be a retaliatory event or an act based upon an act that took place in a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago. We are not ruling anyone out. We're not ruling anything out. But right now, we do know that there was two people involved. They both fired several shots, both at close range, and we're looking at the possibility of it being a retaliatory shooting.
Sheriff Chip Simmons identified the victims as 26-year-old Marquise Turner, 28-year-old Michael Karstefan, and 23-year-old Trayshawn Powers. The three men were in a car in the Jackson Square parking lot when two suspects snuck up on them and started firing. Investigators asking the public for any information and videos from around the area. Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson says a Pace man is now in custody after tying up a woman with duct tape and rope inside of her home on Saturday. Sheriff Johnson said it wasn't the man's first time.
He got out of the Florida Department of Corrections 2 months ago. Anybody want to take a guess at why he was in the DOC? He was in the DOC for kidnapping the same victim he just duct taped in the home.
53-year-old Jeffrey Holly now faces charges for kidnapping, domestic battery, and resisting arrest in this latest incident. Johnson says deputies were called to the home after a neighbor heard an argument, then saw Holly go to his truck to get zip ties. Now, there was a heavy police presence in Century yesterday. Dozens of officers and deputies searching for a wanted suspect, 41-year-old Christopher Pace, wanted for several charges, including arson, trespassing, and resisting arrest. According to North Escambia, searchers with the Sheriff's Office, FWC, and Century Correctional Institution were all searching for the man along West Highway 4 near Pleasant Hill Road. A new reality show set in Northwest Florida. It's called Southern Sand, and it's set from Pensacola all the way to Panama City, following four women in the luxury real estate business. The first episode of that new show is available to stream on their website at SouthernSandTV.com. Marco Rubio says he wants the VA to respond to a recent critical report. Senator Rubio announcing yesterday that he sent a letter to Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough about a report by the VA's Inspector General. That report found that the Veterans Health Administration had failed to identify and exclude health care providers who may have failed to deliver safe care to veterans. Rubio says veterans deserve to know the providers they're referred to will provide safe, appropriate, reliable, and necessary care. And Governor Ron DeSantis praising dozens of people around the state for their heroism during an event yesterday. The governor welcomed 75 people to the governor's residence yesterday. That ceremony was to honor them for what he called their exceptional courage, compassion, and resilience in the face of adversity. The people who were invited to this ceremony included first responders, doctors, veterans, law enforcement, and parents. DeSantis says in Florida, he wants to recognize and extol the virtues of selflessness and service. The 75 individuals, he said, embodied those virtues through their actions. 735 at News Radio, and Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
If you're in Pace or Milton, heading westbound on 90, you can expect to see some traffic there at the intersection of 197 and Highway 90. And also Woodbine Road backed up at the intersection of Highway 90 all the way to Guernsey Road. So that's a few miles right there. If you're heading eastbound on 98, you can expect to see some quite the backup right after State Road 87 going all the way to Hurlburt Field. And if you're heading into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze or Navarre, you can expect to see some westbound traffic right before Avalon Boulevard. If you see anything else on the roads, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Showers and thunderstorms possible through the morning hours, 50% chance of rain overall. Any rain comes to an end by late afternoon, high near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 67 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 72 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Morgan Stanley, which led the Reddit and Astera Labs IPOs, said it expects up to 15 more tech companies to go public before the end of this year. The lull began in 2022 when soaring inflation and rising interest rates pushed investors out of risk, slashed tech valuations, and led many companies to delay their plans to go public. Colin Stewart, head of the bank's tech equity capital markets practice, said valuations are back to where they were in 2019. Stellantis has reported a 12% decline in revenue in the first quarter, citing lower sales and foreign exchange effects, even as net pricing held firm. The Netherlands-based company, whose brands include Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Maserati, said it plans to launch a total of 25 new models this year, including 18 battery electric vehicles. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 146. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in tomorrow at 10 o'clock to the Pensacola Expert Panel when guests from the Pensacola State College's Charter Academy will be on the show. Learn all about admission requirements, where Charter Academy is located, types of students that succeed in the academy, how students complete both high school and college requirements, and so much more. Tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Yesterday, we're out there scouring the neighborhood. We have one vehicle that we have seized, and we're working on getting a search warrant for that. We have a couple of phones that we have seized from the victim's cars, and we're getting search warrants for that. As you can imagine, we're doing a number of different things. We're looking for video. If you live in the area and you think you may have a video, please contact us, let us know. Even if it's something you're not sure has value, please let us know. We can determine whether we can make use of that.
That's always going to be the request. Give us everything. We'll determine what we don't need. Don't pre-select out, because the thing you don't tell us might be the key thing that we need to kind of unlock the mystery. That's Sheriff Chip Simmons yesterday talking during the press conference about this triple homicide, triple murder. I'm calling it a triple assassination because that seems to fit the facts on the ground. He's joining us now, Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Escambia County. Sir, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. This is a very, very scary thing to think about. These guys, you were saying, they basically, it's like a military operation. I mean, they were going through somebody's backyard and shed and everything to sneak up on this car full of enemies, let's assume, and shot them and killed them all.
Well, I mean, there were some questions I've had over the last couple of days. You know, how did this take place and what do we think happened? I think that you can look at the scenario itself, and I mentioned some of this yesterday. We believe that they parked almost a block away and went through a backyard. So you would think that they had information that they were there.
That was my question. How did they find out?
And we're looking at that. I mean, our investigators are looking at that. I don't just say things like that because – I believe this happened. Where are some indications that they were notified or somehow knew that they were there? Because again, they were just sitting in their car, and then they got out of the car, and the shooters did mm-hmm. got out of the car and on foot. I mean, they don't typically do that. They don't do it unless they know where they're going, and they're able to sneak up on an individual. So yeah, you call it assassination. I think that's accurate. I call it a targeted ambush, which mm-hmm. again, I think is accurate. I think the fact that it was the scenario in which they took it, made it think that they, targeted first of all, and secondly, made us think why. You know, we always look for a motive, and it's been our experience that is a retaliation type of situation. So we're looking at some of the things that have taken place over the last couple months because it didn't have to have happened the day before, an hour before. And see if it might be tied to something there because we may have some information on suspects from previous shootings or even victims from previous shootings that are now retaliating. So we're looking at everything. I can tell our investigators are out there, just doing everything that they can, knocking on doors, trying to find video, talking to people, interviewing people, getting search warrants, as I mentioned in yesterday's press conference. So we're doing a lot, but as you mentioned, we can always use all the evidence that we can get, right. All of the surveillance footage, all the comments we can get, all of the information that people have.
So you kind of alluded to it. I also had that same question of who tipped them off? How did that happen? You had mentioned yesterday that one of the gentlemen had been one of the victims, okay, had been just released from prison 6 days ago. Have you had a chance to look at, I did not look, but have you had a chance to look at like priors, what they were in for, what the other two people in the car, if they had a criminal history at all?
I have not. Okay. I know that our investigators have done. Again, you look and see who they associate with. And that was a question that was posed to me. And I said, I am aware that one of them got out 6 days ago. Why is that important? Because, maybe it's someone that put him in jail. Maybe
right.
it's someone that they had a beef with. Before they went to jail, maybe it's something that happened in jail, it's something, some of those things.
Sort of he's out, now let's go, kind of, who knows. I did want to ask, though, because I happen to live close to this other incident, there was a shots fired incident at the Beacon store at Palafox and Burgess on last Wednesday, so that would have been, 3 or 4 days before this happened. I called it in because, I actually called 911 because I don't normally, you can't always tell it's fireworks right. versus gunfire, but I'm like, oh, that's gunfire. And, we thought we heard 8 shots, but I guess it was multiple gunfire exchanges. Is that right?
Yeah, I think there was up to 20 on that particular situation.
But two only different guns. One person was hit in the foot and that's it.
Yeah. Again, it happened at a gas station and an individual comes out with a long gun, but a longer gun, rifle type gun. And then another one returns fire with a pistol. They do appear to know each other. They're, if someone pulls up around me, people will take off and leave. And it almost seems as if they were aware of the individual that's shooting at each
right.
other. So and you're I guess you're asking because you're wondering if this could be a retaliatory.
Right. I mean, my first thought when I saw this story is I thought, well, that's pretty close in time to another incident that's in the sort of geographic. Not really, but, sort of enough that it could be plausible. And that was my thought is, do you see a connection between those two or do you not know yet?
Well, we don't know yet, but those are the types of things that I was alluding to. And I said, we're going to go back and see if it might be retaliation for something that happened. But I didn't want people to think that we're only looking at, yesterday and the day before yesterday, that sort of thing. Right. We're looking for, as I mentioned before, you know, someone got out of prison for a while, could have been a 1 or 2 year beef, could have been something like that. So we're we're certainly trying to take a look at that and see which what where it goes.
You you mentioned yesterday that you have phones that you have seized, you have a car that you have seized. I assume that's in addition to the victim's car. There's an additional car.
No, that is the well, no, car. No. You're right. There are
the Mustang
two
is
cars.
Something else. Okay,
the Mustang is something else that we have. We're currently looking. You know, crime scenes there and yep. taking a look at the two cars we have. One is the victim's car and one's another car.
Okay. And then you had talked, I mean, were the guys in the Mustang armed? Did they have guns? Are you not saying? I mean.
We're not saying anything about that, about what okay. they had in that Mustang yet.
Okay.
But they did not return fire.
Okay, right, which is yeah what you had made clear. And it is, as you say, it's kind of an unusual circumstance because the reason you drive by is because quick, to get away afterwards and quick to make the thing happen, you think, but so they felt confident that they could sneak up and make this happen.
Well, and if it were, I mean, again, I don't want to give anyone advice, obviously, but if it were, you could have done a drive-by. They were right there on 65th right. or Jackson if you were wanting to get out. That's what leads us to believe there's intent here,
right?
Evil intent here. To get out, to find a place to hide, to sneak through the wooded area. So there was some conversation or some intel, if you will,
right?
That was to be gathered before they made this move.
And I don't know. Actually, I have one or two other questions. Let's get a quick traffic break in here, though, real quick. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you were in Pace on Woodbine heading southbound, you were going to be backed up from about 90 Highway 90 to the Guernsey Road intersection. Southbound on Avalon Boulevard, looking backed up all the way to Highway 98. Heading in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre into Pensacola, you're going to be backed up right before Avalon. And eastbound on 98, you were backed up for about 5 miles heading into Hurlburt Field. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons, the scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons. Just, I know because people will wonder this, and I just want to make sure they know. The reason this was not a ShotSpotter incident because it's outside the three-mile zone, right? It's outside of the specific area where you have ShotSpotter.
We have the ShotSpotter based upon the historical shots, shots fired, complaints right. that we've had. So, yeah, this is outside of that zone area. There's one more question I keep getting. As well, it's the first time we've had a triple homicide in a while. Well, NAS, obviously, we had three people, and while we didn't investigate it, we certainly cleared it. And I think that Hartung, there may have been someone back in the day. So we had a quadruple homicide back in the day, back in the crack day. So it's, unfortunately, it's happened before, but fortunately, it's very rare to have double, and certainly rare to have three.
I think what I expect a lot of people have in their heads is this question. We off and on talk about gang activity.
Mm-hmm.
We off and on talk about, you know, there's peaks and valleys in this activity, and you know, sometimes things come in what seem like spurts, and it's really just coincidence. And sometimes they come in spurts because people are fighting with each other over time.
Right?
How worried does the citizen need to be about walking, driving, doing business on the west side of Pensacola right now?
Well, I mean, you know, it did happen. There was a. That's why we. I want to make sure that I explain fully what has taken place, so people can make their own determinations on. What they do. We talk a lot about risky behavior.
Yep.
If you're not involved in risky behavior, the chances of you getting involved in a situation like that is rare. I maintain that is true. If you're not involved in risky behavior, this is very safe. I raise my kids here. I live here. But I think that we need to be aware of what's going on, not just in Scambia County. We need to be aware of what's going on in our country as a whole, and we are a microcosm of that. And I think it's important to know that when this does happen, when a single homicide happens, certainly when a triple homicide happens, we investigate it with all of our staff, all of our resources, to make sure that we can get the people off the street so they will spend the rest of their life in prison.
And, you know, I mean, no place is ever really safe fully, and no place is ever really super at risk too. I mean, you know, things can happen, and you make your decision as an adult about what level of, you know, preparations you take for all that, which is why we talk about all the other things, personal safety and carries and all that kind of stuff. I did want to briefly talk about two or three other cases. One is you had a deputy that was essentially the victim of a four-vehicle chain reaction crash last Wednesday on Highway 29. One vehicle actually caught fire. Two people hospitalized. The deputy is okay, and the deputy was not at fault.
Well, yeah, that's correct. The deputy's vehicle was hit from the rear, and then it slammed into other cars.
Those was pushed into another car, right?
Yes. Florida Highway Patrol was investigating it. I want to say that they found fault on the other driver.
Okay.
But our deputy's okay. Thank you for asking. I don't know. I'm not allowed to know the condition of the other. They have their own privacy rights.
Okay.
Of the other drivers. And again, we're not the investigating agency, so I can't give that out.
Got it. You also had an incident in Century, or at least somebody who you think is in Century, a Christopher George Pace that you're all looking for?
Yeah, we've been looking for him for a couple of days. Christopher Pace, wanted for arson, damage to a property, and trespassing. He's believed to be in the Century area. We do consider him armed and dangerous. We've been looking for him for a while. And if you look on our social media Facebook page, we have a picture of him. Looks like the picture shows him without a shirt on. I'm assuming he may have a shirt or he may not have a shirt.
Descriptions may change over time.
Yeah, he may not. But if you know where he is, we were up in Century a couple of days ago when I got a lot of calls. Where are we up? We have so many deputies up there.
Yeah.
It's because we think he's armed and dangerous, and we wanted to do everything we could. So there's... You know, he could be in some wooded area up there, but we do have the last information that we have is that he is still in the Century area, and I guess he's known up there. People know who this is, and if you see him, please give us a call because we would love to put some handcuffs on this dude.
Gotcha. Last thing is sort of going back to the gunfire at the Beacon store in Palafox, because this gave me an opportunity to see some things and ask some things that I think might be useful. As I said, we heard the gunfire, what seemed like to me to be gunfire, the mm-hmm. pace of the shots, the loudness, the particular sound. I know it's hard to tell from fireworks, but sometimes you can tell, right? And, you know, I was like, do I call it in? I bet I'm not the only one called in. Well, I did call it in, and you can't tell them much because you're in your house and then it's over, and you're like, where'd that come from? Right. Hey, we live here and we heard some gunshots, right? I think it's south of us. But I couldn't get through to 911. Busy. And which surprised me because that's pretty rare. But I thought, well, I bet other people are calling this in. That's what's happening. They're overwhelmed. And sure enough, and then they called me back because you call, they call back.
Right.
Because that can be a victim in distress that needs a call back. And so, you know, he called me back and asked, you know, said, and I told him what was going on. He's like, yes, we've had several reports that. Thank you for calling, you know. But that's what you want is you want citizens, if you hear or see something, say or describe something, right?
Well, yeah, it's a couple of things. So I don't know, you know, how many calls it takes for 911 center to be busy. That's rare.
I was surprised.
Ever, you know, heard that's taken. We don't handle the 911 system. The county does.
Right.
But I would say yes, call, because I listen to the radio all the time, and I hear it helps us to know
the police
we've had
radio.
More than I'm sorry.
Well, in talk addition radio, to listening to this radio.
Yeah, no, I listen to – anytime I say radio, I mean police radio. So I'm listening to the radio and listen to what's going on. And a lot of times it helps our deputies that are responding to know when we have multiple calls
mm-hmm.
because it shows that it's probably a real call. It's more likely to be a real call. And then the secondary and third calls can help pinpoint exactly what's taking place. So I would say that, yes, unless you – I mean, if you live in a wooded area out there and you hear what you think is a shotgun – you know, during hunting season or something like that, then you know, you can make your determination on whether you call or not. But if it's an area, and like you said, you hear what maybe even been two different types of guns in short order, I think that's something that we can call on. And then you can, again, as the deputy gets the information like they told you, we've had multiple calls on it now. We're getting more calls. And again, it can kind of help us to go exactly where we need to go.
And you know, my wife and I bike all the time. We're in the country. We hear gunfire. Mm. During the day, you know, we don't think anything of it because, it, you know, that's where we live. That's fine. Yeah. But there's a difference when it's at night, multiple. It's like 8 or 9 shots in a row. And, you know, so we made the call.
What happens to me, too? I'm in my yard. I'm thinking, and I stop for a second and listen and evaluate what I just heard. And,
right.
And the location, is it more in the wooded area mm-hmm. near where mm-hmm. I live, or is it more in the town, you know, in the right. town area? And then, again, most of it is just... if it sounds like shotgun blast or even one rifle round or something.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for keeping us informed as always. Do what you do to keep us safe, and we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh, good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center. Or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pensacola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Mother's Day, Beer Fest, Angelina's cooking class, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Guys, what's the sitch? I'm bored.
What do you think?
Please, it's so 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
My favorite part of that scene from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is that the other girls consider that a decisive argument. That's still 5 minutes ago. Oh, yeah. Persuasive. 7:57 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got our traffic for us. Jimmy?
If you're heading eastbound on Highway 98, you can expect to see a lot of buildup heading towards Hurlburt Field, probably backed up about 5 miles all the way to State Road 87. In Pace, we are still looking pretty backed up on Woodbine Road from the intersection to Highway 90 all the way up to Guernsey Road. Also in Milton on Highway 90, you are looking pretty backed up, rounding that bend going into Milton on that bridge crossing the Blackwater River. And in Pensacola, if you are heading down Highway 29 southbound, there's a vehicle crash on 9.5 mile road that is backing up traffic for about a mile. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I am Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's got our headlines in the newsroom. David?
The Supreme Court is declining to hear Elon Musk's challenge to an SEC order over his public posts about Tesla. Musk filed the appeal with the high court claiming the agreement to have a lawyer read his Tesla posts before they're sent violates his First Amendment speech rights. And four law enforcement officers are dead after a standoff in Charlotte, North Carolina. A suspect opened fire when a Marshall's Fugitive Task Force was trying to serve a warrant at a home on Monday when gunfire erupted. The suspect was killed when officers returned fire.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:59. What else do we have going on? Oh, you know the actress Emma Stone? Okay. Not anymore. Emily. Her given name is Emily. She picked Emma, apparently. I didn't know this. I guess you can only have one person registered with SAG-AFTRA at a time with a certain name, and so she was forced early in her career to pick Emma, and now she's a big enough commodity. She's like, Emily. So, you know, she says it can be whatever, you know, but kind of this came out a couple of years ago, apparently, but now it's been a little bit more of an issue recently, so... I don't know, looks like an Emma to me. Because I've always called her that, right?
I like it.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.